The recordings have started.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, evening to everyone. Julie, could you please help me make a roll call to see who's on the call?
I'll be happy to do that. So we have Olga Cavalli.
We have SS Kshatriya, Victoria, McCavity, Michael Young, Chuck Gomes, Krista Papak, Claudio Diganji, Rafik Damak, and Rob Hogarth from ICANN staff. Have I missed anyone?
I'm not also on the call, Julie.
Oh, Glenn, you're on the call.
Glenn, how are you?
Sorry.
I'm thankful, yeah. Great. Thank you all for joining. We have a very well-represented group of our working team. We had a very intense week exchanging some ideas. I woke up very early this morning because I have been traveling this week and was very busy, and I could follow the thread, but not as deeply and closely as I would like to. So I've been reading them all this morning. And so I have just sent an updated version of the agenda. Sorry for sending it so close to the meeting so you had no time to review it or make any suggestions, but we can do that now. I included SS a suggestion of so we can talk about staff support for the group, and also I included Victoria's suggestion of a letter to the board. And we have also to discuss the wording of the subtask one. I have been reviewing all the changes, and I realized some things that I suggested may be wrong, but I would like us to talk about this all together. Did you receive my email with the new agenda? Do you like it? Do you want to make any suggestions, any change? I'm not sure if we will have time to review all these issues in 1 hour. I am available for staying a little bit longer, maybe half an hour, no more than that, but I'm not sure if it's fair for the group, as we have agreed to work to shorten our conference calls in 1 hour. So just let me know if the agenda is fine, if you want to add something, and what we could do if we don't finish by 1 hour. Any comments?
Yeah, I'd like to add something to the agenda. I'd just like to say, Olga, I got your email, but I didn't actually get a copy of a new agenda with it, and that may be me, but...
It's included in the email.
Oh, it's just the email itself? Okay, fine, I'll go back to it. Look, I'd just like to add one, not having looked at it then, one other item to the agenda.
I'm not able to hear. Could you speak loudly?
Oh, certainly.
I don't want to shout at you now. I'd like to add one issue to the agenda. Look, I think all the toing and froing we've had about the wording of the work plan leads me to think that what we might like to put on the agenda is the role or status of the work plan, because we're obviously getting very, very bogged down in semantics here, and so I'm thinking it might be helpful to pull focus on that whole document and perhaps have a discussion of it.
Well, just the first point of the agenda that I added is discuss the test of the work plan. So I agree with you that we have to work on that. And we also think we agreed in the list that we should discuss that. So your suggestion is perfect, and I already captured that from our email exchanges. Any other comments about the agenda?
Yeah, Olga, I have a request.
Yes.
I'll be able to be here another 10-15 minutes. I have some technical problem also. No electric supply here, so my systems will stop working after some time.
Oh, that's very bad.
So this staff support, if you could take up first, then I'd like to speak on that, and that will be good for me.
Okay, any comments about SS suggestion of changing the order of the agenda?
Hey, I'm happy with that. It's Michael.
Okay. Thank you, Michael. And I think, as if you have technical problems, it's fair that we give you a chance to talk about your concerns about staff support, and I'm not sure to be the one. I don't have that much experience in ICANN. I've been involved for like 3 or 4 years in ICANN meetings and working teams, so maybe Julie or Glenn or Chuck could help us in understanding which is the role of staff, what we can ask for staff, what is fair, what is too much, what is the role of the whole working team asking, or the chair. Could you please maybe Chuck or Julie or helping us in understanding this?
I think first you should give me a chance to talk, and then...
Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead, ahead.
Yeah. I sent a mail to Olga. Now, the wording is good to hear from you about next conference call. I'll read out my mail. I will need comparative statement of participation rules and operating procedures, followed by various constituencies in a tabulated summarized form from staff, and also any other material they have prepared to support the work. Now I am very clear that from support I wanted in a summarized and tabulated form. Now once I ask, I know that this information is available with the staff. Now, I'll make 2 points here, that I addressed this mail to chair, and chair did not care to reply this mail.
Okay.
And I reminded, please, for that also there is no reply from chair. Instead, there are others, they are replying on her behalf. I think this is not the sound the procedure. Now, this mail, what chair would have said, no. There are three options he had. She would have said, no, you won't get staff support. Second was, she would have either requested or directed staff to give support. Third was, if she did not know whether staff can support or no, I mean, she would have put it that way. Next. Now, I am new to this GNSO work team, so I do not know what support, what type of support staff gives here. So this is what all you have to think. If staff does not support this type of thing, they should simply say no. Now here, what did I got a mail from Julie. She says that individual constituency representative should be consulted. Now this is skirting the issue, making the issue complicated. Now, this constituency representative, they won't tabulate and summarize others' work. This is the work of a person who is in the center of things. Then I get a suggestion from Chuck. He says that the WP should discuss whether I should get a support or no. I think it's not the WP. If an individual member wants some support, it's not WP will decide whether he should be given support or no. So my point here is that this information is available with the staff. Now staff is supposed to support or no, that you should decide. If they are not supposed to do this work, I should be told about it. And with this now you can probably discuss and let me know. And in case my system fails, I'll just disappear sometime. Maybe I could be informed by email. Thank you.
Thank you, FF. Let me first make your comment. I am also new in all these processes, so if I have made some mistakes, just please my apologies. I would like, as you want, maybe just because I don't know exactly how it works, to have some clarification of what we can expect from staff, so we all as a work team can know and use that very great support that they give us in the proper way. Also, I would like you to know, and it's a feeling that I have, maybe it's not from the working team, but I would like to know what others think. We are quite a small work team, so we can bear some flexibility in requesting to the chair or to some other, if some other member of the work team can reply and can help, maybe because he or she is more experienced. In my position of a chair, I think it's fine. I think it's very helpful, and it's, it brings more flexibility and efficiency to the group. That's my impression. And again, my apologies if I did not capture your request and I did not direct it properly. So, following your comment, yes.
Put me in the queue, please.
Yes.
Hopefully before staff responds.
Okay, so that's all I have to say. And Chuck, I will open a queue. Chuck is first, and who else would like to reply to SS? And
I'd like to be in the queue too, Victoria.
It's Victoria. It's Chuck, Victoria. Who else? Okay, go ahead, Chuck.
Okay, first of all, with regard to the SS's comment about the chair responding, one of the advantages of having a vice chair is obviously our chair isn't available around the clock, so and there's going to be times when she's very busy. So one of the things that Aubrey and I do on the council is that either one of us will reply if we see it sooner. That doesn't always work, but it helps some. So I just like to encourage if Michael and Olga kind of work that way, it takes the pressure off of them, because there's no way they can, you know, always be real timely in their responses. Secondly, practice within the GNSO and staff support, and staff has been really great. Personal requests from work teams or working groups or council members or whatever, staff's been really good about if it's something that they can just, you know, answer or point somebody to. They've always been really good with that. The issue that I was trying to deal with there is that on more significant tasks, and I viewed the tasks that SS requested as a fairly significant amount of work, that if we don't have some procedure of either the chair or vice chair or the group as a whole agreeing on more significant work, it will be totally unworkable. Because if each one of us gives significant tasks and expects staff to just respond to what we do, it doesn't allow for prioritization and so forth, and frankly, staff won't have enough time to do that, because they're not only working on this work team, they have much more to do, and so forth. So from a practical point of view, when there are more time-consuming tasks, we need to be able to make decisions on those and not just each one of us individually direct staff. Otherwise, it'll be totally unworkable.
Thank you, Chuck. Victoria?
I'd just like to address the substance of the issue. I mean, I have to say, it's interesting because this is actually kind of one of our topics for substantive work, isn't it? But this is exactly the kind of request I would have expected that staff would meet. And I think there's something of a contradiction here. If it's publicly available data, then it really ought to be a cut-and-paste job for staff. Being able to sort of gather and compile this sort of material is those sort of exercises are very important, particularly when you're dealing with new entrants to ICANN and the ICANN system. I mean, it's very difficult to find what you're looking for on the website. I always find it a nightmare. So I have to say, I myself did not see this as a substantive request, and I don't really understand why it was turned down, and I don't think it should have been.
I didn't know that it was turned down.
Well, it certainly was my understanding.
But as far as the significance of it, even though it's publicly available data, there are six different charters and changing charters that have to be reviewed and comparing a table. That's not a trivial task. It may very well be one that we agree we'd like to have done. I didn't say one way or the other on that. I just think we have to, we can't each just direct staff to do things individually when they are somewhat time-consuming. It just is impractical.
I mean, without looking at it in detail, sorry if I can just answer it, I mean, I would have thought this is something that would probably have taken maybe 2 hours of staff time, 2 or 3 hours, if a staff member who was familiar with you know, very familiar with the documents they'd be working with, and with I mean, that's what I would have thought. I mean, I could probably do the thing myself in that time. So, and I'm not that familiar. So, I mean, that's kind of what I would have thought. I mean, the staff can correct us, but that's what I would have thought would have been involved in this. You know, basically pasting stuff into a table from the online documents.
Is someone else going to talk? I would like myself in the queue.
This is Rob as well. I'd like to be in the queue.
Oh, Rob, go ahead, and then I go after you.
Certainly. Thank you. Referring back to your work team charter, Section 5, references staff support. It's a short sentence. The ICANN staff assigned to the work team will fully support the work of the team as directed by the chair, including meeting support, document drafting, editing, and distribution, and other substantive contributions when appropriate. From a staff perspective, we are delighted within the constraints of time and space to help you guys with respect to any requests. But I do note that I think your discussion is a combination of process and substance. I think you guys, as Chuck suggested, have operated very effectively to date. We're delighted to support you all. As we do with the other work teams, councils, working groups, and the rest, the process that seems to work best is to have that discussion as you're having it now, and then, you know, have the chair make that determination. For some of you who don't have the insights, we're currently managing 16 separate work teams, task forces, and draft teams. We are more than happy, like I said, to crank any requests into the work day. And if you guys agree to it, we will, you know, give you feedback in terms of our workload and try to get to everything as fast as we can. So I just wanted to, you know, make clear from the discussion perspective that as staff, we're ready to do whatever directed.
Thank you very much, Robert. And I would like to make a comment that it's not the issue of the staff report. I think staff is great, and Julie and Rob have been extremely helpful, and it just happens the same in GNS. So what I think that they are not supposed to do is cut and pasting for us. We have to deal with the content, and they are always able to provide us links and documents, but I'm not sure that we have, this is something that the work team has to do. They should not be involved in deciding what to cut and what to paste and how to do that, because this is our job, and this is why we volunteered for being in this group. And I know it takes some time, maybe 2 hours, 3 hours, but that this is why I wanted to be a chair, and you agreed to be in the group. And if not, we could come to the point that we just don't agree how they cut it and pasted it, and then we go into discussion in the list and in the conference call that the staff decided about the content that we don't agree. And this is not their mission. Their mission is to help us and to bring us information that we have to deal with, and we have to prepare a knowledge base and recommendations. This is my view, and this is how we also work in GNSO, which is my main source of experience. I don't know what do others think about this.
Could I respond to that?
Yes, please.
I think it's okay if staff does even cut and pasting, if that's something that we ask them to do, in particular that the chair confirms that, yeah, a good approach is just, you know, could you give us an estimate how long that'll take to do so that we have a general area of understanding about what how much effort the task will take, and when it's a little bit more significant, whether it's 2 hours or 3 hours or whatever, gives us a feel so that if we have them doing that, we realize that that's going to take away from doing other things. I'm not opposed to that task being done at all. It could be a very useful task, even if it is mostly cut and pasting. All I'm suggesting is let's just work together so that we make this thing workable.
Olga, this is
yes.
Julie. Can I get in the queue, please?
Who is this? Julie?
Julie.
Okay, go ahead, Julie.
Yes, I'm, for myself, this is a very helpful discussion, and I just wanted to clarify one thing that perhaps wasn't clear in my email. what I was hoping to get, and I think I have gotten this from this call, was simply an understanding of how perhaps I could provide some support to all of the work teams, the sub-teams, I should say, for Task 1, really at one time. I guess what I'm saying is that I agree with Chuck. I think that this is a task that staff can do to look at the various charters and to pull out information and to put it in a tabulated format. My point was just that each of the sub-teams here will need similar information from staff, meaning that rather than simply going into the charters and pulling just the information for SS's sub-team of Task 1, it would be, I think, more efficient to look at what each of the sub-teams needs, look at all of the constituency charters, and pull all of this information into one tabulated document. So I think what I was trying to suggest was that if we could discuss this as a team, I could more efficiently address all of your needs, perhaps in one project, which I think could, you know, be done probably in a matter of hours. But it's until I'm actually doing the task, I should say that it might be a little bit difficult for me to say how long it would take. But yes, it's certainly doable.
Olga, can I get in the queue?
Who is this, Michael?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Michael.
You know, I think these are very good comments. I think that that the reality is that exactly what's been said before is if we are, as our charter states, if we're having the chair and to support the chair if they're not available, the vice chair, help facilitate or centralize requests to staff, we're going to get efficiencies, and staff is going to sometimes be able to combine requests and work items and maybe suggest extending things further so that they're possibly even you know, the work that they do possibly could even be more useful than just beyond the COD. It could spread to other teams and other working groups working on issues that could also benefit from a consolidated document, for example. I do think that your point about us being willing to do our own work is very valid, Olga. I think it's a judgment call in each case. You know, as the requests come in and as we try and optimize and combine requests that are overlapping so that we only ask staff to do things once and not have overlapping requests that are too similar, I think we have to consider whether or not we're asking to do something that's supportive or requires, you know, decision-making. And if it's a decision-making or an assessment task, that should fall to us directly, because that's what we're here to do. We're here to examine, assess, and make recommendations. However, collecting, you know, a clear list of items, for example, that's supportive, you know, I don't see any harm in those cases if staff is able to help us to using them. If there was a judgment as to how to create that list or what should go into that list, then that judgment is our responsibility, I think.
Great. Anyone else want to talk or be in the queue? Thank you, Michael. It's a very good comment. Julie, I think I captured your idea, and we worked in developing the first agenda, and I think we included an item, which is how to exchange information about constituencies in relation to subtasks. And this is where we wanted to exchange some ideas with you and be as efficient as possible in using our time and staff time to in order to exchange information, but for all of our tasks and about all our constituencies. And this is why I think we perhaps reacted towards your comment, SS, in going forward or not with your request. I agree with Julie that we should organize this request, and I still think that staff should provide us the basic information or the whole information, and we should work with that content, and maybe they can help us in doing some things, but with specific directions from us. So, because we are the working team, I'm trying to figure out how to solve this as a more constructive way of doing it for the whole work that we have to do, not only for one subtask. Perhaps Julie, your suggestion of preparing some basic information from us could be useful. Could you repeat it? How could we do that?
Yes, thank you very much, Olga. Perhaps I could make a suggestion for how I could approach this, and we can see whether or not for all of the team members if that's acceptable. When I look at the chart, the table that we've prepared for task one and the subtasks, what I noted, and this is why I wanted to discuss this, is that each of these subtasks, except for really I think the last one, requires going into current charters and pulling out information in a tabular form. We really actually have a table right now that lists the information that we're interested in getting. I mean, if you look at the chart that we are, all working with the various subtasks, one for SS, for SS's group has, information concerning rules or principles from each that we could gather from each of the constituency charters. Subtask two has questions about mailing lists and discussion lists and so on, and procedures for developing policy positions. Some of that information may also be in the charter documents. And number three talks about a database. That one, I'm not sure that we could. That one may require assistance from you to direct me to whom I might speak about whether or not there are current databases of constituency members. Some of that information may not be public, and I may have to come back to you with questions for that. And then the last item is the toolkit, and I see that as sort of a separate piece that would have to be addressed separately. So what I would suggest is that I go look at the charters, look at this table, and I could, for instance, say, list each constituency and say, yes, they have this procedure, or no, they do not have this procedure. For item number two, yes, they have it or not. And use this table as a base document. And once I'm in the project, I could give you a better idea of how much time it will take, but I could just go ahead and start with it. And as I have questions, I could bring them up to the list. And perhaps you could guide me. If I can't find something in your constituency, you, the work team members, could guide me on whom I might, speak with.
I think it's a very good suggestion, Julie. I would like to get feedback from the team. Any comments?
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
Thank you, Michael. SS, are you still on the line?
Yeah, I'm still online, and it has been quite a fruitful discussion, and I think we'll hear from Julie something.
Okay, great. Julie, so you have something to do now? You have
job? Not now. I mean, she will be posting something and giving to us.
I didn't hear you well, so could you repeat it? Maybe I was mistaken.
SS, you mean?
Yes.
No, what I mean that once Julie prepares something and circulates, I think that will be useful to us.
Oh, great. This is what I was saying, that Julie has a job to do now. And thank you very much, Julie, for the suggestion. And thank you, SS, for making me learning how to deal with this chair issue. Okay, so we have the staff support point already spoken, and could we move forward with the agenda? There's a discussion on the list about the text for work plan task one, subtask one. Let me give my impressions. I've been reading all the exchange of emails this morning, and I think I have made a mistake in responding Chuck's suggestion about changing participation instead of membership. I review it, and I think it shouldn't be membership. It should be participation, the right word to use.
I think it should be both. I think
or both. Maybe that's more open. But it's not only membership. So my mistake. I apologize. Maybe I had no time to go back to the previous documents that we have to use as background. And so I would like to make that comment. And I would like to open a queue because there were a lot of exchange of interesting discussions in the list, and we could perhaps finish this wording during the call.
Chuck would like to be in the queue.
Chuck? Who else?
Victoria.
Victoria? Who else? Okay, go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah, in reading one of Victoria's last responses to that suggestion I made, I think she was right, and
yes.
you just observed that,
yes.
Olga, that it is more than just membership. I was trying to get away from us trying to define the nitty-gritty of how people participate in constituencies, because that's going to be an area of flexibility depending on the constituency. But when you look at the board recommendations, it's certainly more than membership. I think membership is important. There needs to be open membership, and the board recommendations are very clear on that. But it is more than that. Just being a member isn't enough if you're not free to participate
exactly.
in an effective manner. And so I would say we need both.
Excuse me, it's Tony Harris joining late. Sorry.
Hi, Tony.
Hello.
Victoria?
Yes, thanks for that. Look, as I said at the beginning of the call, I think the email exchanges have been really interesting. But then I think I just want to make the overall point again. I mean, because I think we're quite lucky in the scenario that we find ourselves in the sense that we have the report of the Board Governance Committee's work, which is actually very detailed, and they give us sort of all sorts of background context and what have you, and then they've given us those bullet points. And I mean, this draft work plan is basically derived pretty closely from the bullet points. I think they're on page 43 of that report.
Yeah, the detail actually is easier to find on page 45 and 46.
So. Okay, yeah, that's true. But what I just wanted to make, I want to make a general point here. I mean, if you look at page 43, for example, which is just what I was working for from, I mean, what it asked us to do it says that there are a need for example, and this is sort of the second paragraph on the page, there are a number of specific areas that must be addressed. The first is the need for constituency-developed participation rules for all constituencies, okay, that encourage openness, transparency, accountability. The rules must adhere to the following principles. Now, the principles are bullet pointers, okay, and they include, those principles have come into our work plan. Now, the point that I'm trying to make about this is that the enumerated items in our work plan, they're minimums, they're not maximums, okay, they're floors, not ceilings in a sense. I mean, we're being asked to come up with some rules, and the rules must adhere to those principles. So my concern is that the work plan, in other contexts it's often very important, but I think where we have all this guidance and this full discussion in this report, you know, our work plan is less significant perhaps in another context. And I don't think we should regard ourselves as being locked down to it, because it doesn't encompass the bigger points, which are fully discussed in Section 6 of the document. And I think this participation versus sort of, membership criteria is actually a pretty clear example of how there's a danger of missing the overall point. And I went through the preparation for the call to try and convey what I've been doing so badly at conveying over the internet, the emails. I mean, some of the report uses words like, you know, it's talking about constituency structures which need to adapt to reflect the movement to a working group model, you know, reducing barriers to participation in constituents, talks about active stakeholders, greater consistency across constituency structures. So, I mean, these are the bigger points, and when we've got all that background context, and I think this is the kind of working team where we don't need to be so locked down to our work plan. That's what I wanted to say.
Totally agree.
I agree with you, Victoria. If someone else wants to be in the queue? I also want to thank you, Victoria, because your email, as Chuck said, made me review my comment and made me note my mistake. So thank you for that. And thank you for this comment. So I would ask you, how I mean, we need some guides to make our work and to move forward. As we are a team, we are not together, we are not face-to-face meeting very frequently, maybe at least 3 times a year if we can. So how would you suggest that we can be more open and more flexible in not missing any point about our main task, and also having a feasible work plan which is clear and which is not difficult to follow for all of the team members that we are volunteering our time for this working group?
I mean, well, my own thought is that we should just really, you know, leave, I mean, not worry so much and now just move on from the work plan, quite frankly. You know, it's taken probably enough of our time. We all know where we're going. And just, you know, leave it as it is, pretty much. I mean, I just don't think we need to, you know, engage in detailed semantics about it when we're really working from this bigger, this much bigger reference point, which is so full and clear. So, but I think it's a point that we need to entrench this in some way so that we don't keep getting dragged back to it and dragged down to it, I think. We'd have to decide just to, you know, use it as a reference and not a particularly useful one.
So it's Michael. Can I get in with you?
Sure, please. Go ahead, Michael.
Victoria, I think your comments are excellent, and I agree with them. I think we also need to agree on some type of check and balance, though. So almost what I would say is, yes, let's push ahead, as you're suggesting. Let's let the work teams, the folks that have come together to work on the subtask, let them have a little freedom. And if they expand beyond the how far we specify some of these subtasks and tasks, that's okay. Let them, I think. And then as we come back and view the results of their work, then I think what we need is an agreement that we're going to, whatever is brought back in those subtasks or those teams, we just need to check in on each piece of work produced and make sure it still fits within the confines of the intent of what we're supposed to be doing, and validate it more on the return rather than try and have, you know, an overtly tight control on defining what they're going to work on. I think a little bit of creativity here is appropriate as well.
Thank you, Michael. Someone else want to be in the queue?
As far as wording the task, Olga, why don't we just go back to the word participation, understanding that there's some flexibility there. Membership is too restrictive.
I agree. I think participation is wider and participation is included in it. Thank you, Chuck. Someone else want to make any comment to be in the queue? Well, Victoria, I think your comments are very, really very helpful, and also I agree with Michael. So I think that I would suggest that we take your idea as the basis for starting our work, using the work plan as a kind of a guide, but not stick to the wording in the work plan. This is what I think I got from your comments, and start exchanging information, and then perhaps we can review it as the work goes on, and see if we are in the right way of solving and giving a good outcome from our work, and be more flexible, and also be really open with considering all the things that we have to achieve, not restricting our work with the work plan, but really having in mind all the things that we have to achieve as an outcome. So I think it's a great suggestion. So what you're suggesting is that we don't discuss a lot about the wording of the work plans, and we just move on. Am I right?
That's right.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you very much. So this is kind of solving our agenda, because I had included that in it. I have one concern. I'm not sure if we are getting active participation from all constituencies. Am I right? Am I wrong? What do I think? I think that our main task is gather a lot of ground-based knowledge from other constituencies, from all of them. And I'm not sure if we are getting active participation, and I am not sure how to solve this. Maybe I can contact some people who is not participating in the calls and ask them to maybe be present in the list or in the next conference call. Any comment about this? Any suggestions?
Well, I think is it true that the only constituency that we're not getting some participation from is the NCUC, or am I wrong on that?
We have Rafik from NCUC, but maybe I'm mistaken. What about business constituency?
Oh, Rafik is on the Rafik. You're on the call.
Yes, yeah, he's on. I think he's on the call. I think I heard his name at the beginning. Glenn, can you see who's on the call?
Yeah, he's showing still on the call.
I've asked you. Mute.
Oh, maybe he's in mute.
He's not showing mute, but as far as active in the discussions and so forth, he has been less active than others. I think there's been pretty good participation by others.
Great. Are we having business constituency participation?
This is Rob. Zahid Jamil is the business constituency rep, but I know that he's been on vacation or holiday. I think Philip.
Oh, he got married. You're right.
Yeah, so.
So we let him be happy for a while, and then I'll bother him again. Maybe in 1 or 2 weeks, I'll try to contact him. Okay, great. Thank you, Rob. I had forgotten that he told me that in Mexico. Okay, great. Any other comments about constituencies? Rafik is online. He's saying me in the chat that he's there. Rafik, can you hear us? Rafik, you're representing NCUC constituency, right?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay. In the agenda I sent you, we have number 4. Oh, Victoria, I was forgetting about the suggestion of your the letter that you're suggesting. I think we should discuss that. I've included that in the agenda, and I was forgetting to comment about this. Could you please explain us? I really don't really understand why we should be sending that letter, but maybe it's because I don't get your point. Could you please explain it to us?
Sure. I only realized because I get the Saturday sort of ICANN newsletter that I hadn't really focused on it, but the charters have all been resubmitted by the existing constituencies in the GNSO have, I believe, and please correct me if I'm wrong, I saw some drafts being submitted to the board for approval. Now, the charters, certainly the ones that I've had a good look at, govern every aspect of constituency operations. They talk about, they're basically the bylaws for each constituency, and they deal with all the rules about participation, membership, procedure, operating procedure, policy development, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm afraid that our work, whatever coming out of our work would that was adopted and approved by the board would end up in charters for constituencies. And the Board Governance Committee's report is very, very clear that they want to come up with some participation rules for all constituencies and operating procedures for constituencies that reflect these common principles, etc., and in our guidelines. So it seems very clear to me, in any event, that whatever we do will have to be reflected in new charters for constituencies, and all the constituencies will have to amend their charters. So,
Victoria, if I could, Michael, if I could clarify something here.
Sure.
I think we're, it's time we start switching the language from constituencies to stakeholders groups, and I think that's an important thing.
Well, that's not what the board report says at all, and that's not my understanding, because within the stakeholder groups, the constituencies remain
Right.
And the board's quite clear about the fact that this change to constituencies must take place.
Right.
And it discusses that exact point. It says that while there is a new stakeholder structure, that's primarily as a way to organise the council, while it will also encourage the constituencies to maximise the common interests, it does not on its own change the constituency structure itself. And of course it doesn't.
Well, it does in the sense that the voting aspect, so take the registry constituency as an example. The voting power within that current constituency moves to the stakeholders group, and the constituency effectively, as it stands today, really is only a stakeholders group. And then additionally, at least the way we did the registry's draft charter, constituencies of themselves do not have a voting right. The members.
Okay, but the registries are going to be unique, aren't they? I mean, it's not true of the commercial and the non-commercial
right.
stakeholder structures. But that's a really good point, and I hadn't focused on that.
Actually, the non-commercial's kind of gone in the same direction, or at least that's one of the charters that they've proposed. Let me comment on this from the point of view of the OSC, because, and I said a little bit of this in an email that I sent to our list, and that is that when the board did these recommendations, it goes clear back to February, and February of last year, and that is at that particular time, the actual structure and the specific component of stakeholder groups had not been developed very far. And so there was just a focus on constituency. So I would say that both of you, Michael and Victoria, are correct. It really needs to be, we can't throw away the emphasis on the constituency operations. That's still part of the issue. Victoria, you're right in that regard. But what the OSC did as we got more detail in the structure of the council involving stakeholder groups, we kind of just ourselves added the concept that, now that we've got the stakeholder concept, the same request, the same task with regard to constituencies probably need to apply to stakeholder groups. So it's a matter of applying what the board's recommendations to those as well, even though they will vary a little bit depending on stakeholder group, but still some of the same things. Membership in the stakeholder groups, for example, needs to be open to eligible people, just like they do in constituencies. Does that make sense?
It does. I mean, this is something we need to look at, I think, and actually study further, because it raises real issues. And I think we do need to look at there must be two models then, mustn't there? So there must be there's the registries. You say NCUC is similar, but that's only because we haven't had any new constituencies yet, or they haven't been approved yet anyway. So you're saying there are two structures, right? You've got the stakeholder model where you've got a whole bunch of constituencies in it, right?
Well, actually, I think that there will be a lot of overlap between principles for stakeholder groups and constituencies. Some of the detailed logistics may be different, but a lot of overlap, even some of the principles you mentioned from the board recommendations on page 43 and following, and in section 6 there, those really, I think you'll agree, need to apply to both areas, stakeholder groups and constituencies. So I think there will be a lot of overlap, but there may be some differences that we'll highlight when we get into some detailed recommendations. With regard to constituency charters, though, I want to come back to something that you said, and I'll use the registry as an example because I can't really speak for the other constituencies. But we didn't really change our charter when we requested renewal of our charter. But we anticipate that charter may need the change going forward. So we just requested renewal of our charter and submitted our old charter, understanding that that will probably change going forward. So I think the charters are going to have to evolve as details come about. And somebody may want to speak for other constituencies in terms of your request for renewal.
Well, the ISP has presented theirs.
Did you revise your charter, Tony?
Not significantly.
Yeah, the same thing we did. I mean, we did some little minor things, but we anticipate that once the stakeholder group charters are more firm, then we may have to go back and change our constituency charter some as well.
Yeah, and to that point, Chuck, and just Victoria's concern, I think actually at this point, you know, the stakeholder charters in some ways define how the constituencies underneath them will participate, and there'll be a little bit of inheritance from the stakeholders' charters in some cases to the constituencies' charters. And so if those charters are in submission now for consideration, you know, probably a reasonable point of concern is if we come up with, you know, a recommended rule of participation as a membership that significantly contradicts one of those stakeholder charters or more, then there'd be a required amendment. But you know, to my earlier emails, Victoria, I think, you know, that responsibility to make sure that those charters actually follow those recommendations, I don't know that's within our scope.
Well, no, I mean, I agree with you. I'm sure it's not us. I mean, all we can do is make recommendations. So, I mean, seeing any of it come through is not up to us and beyond our control, obviously. But I am concerned, and, you know, these things do happen, unfortunately, in the ICANN system, where someone, you know, a change comes through and perhaps people realize retrospectively that there wasn't a process of, you know, there wasn't due process in sort of consulting or doing whatever should have been done. And I just wouldn't want to be, well, I wouldn't want any of us to have to waste their efforts, basically. I think it's probably appropriate for us just to, you know, sort of put our hand up and ask for some sort of clarification, or at least just remind them that they ought to be waiting for our work and that our work is coming.
Well, I think that's very reasonable. I mean, you know, we assume that people see these things, and perhaps they, not everyone has. So certainly wouldn't hurt to, you know, put our hand up and say, you know, just point that out, that there is an order of operation here that seems a little backwards at this point.
I think, Victoria, it's a great point, and thank you, Michael, for your comment. How would we make this call, or how could we materialize this, and concretely speaking? How can we make this? Yes, Rob, please.
Oh, thanks. I just wanted to point out that you all have the unique advantage to have not only the chair of the OSC on your work team, but the vice chair of the GNSO Council. And in Chuck, you should certainly listen to his advice in terms of the best way to communicate. You know, I think this structure is set up that the work team work funnels into the steering committees, which then funnels into the council, which then ultimately will agree on recommendations to the board. And using that structure or process may result in a more effective system of feedback for you than for a direct communication from a work team up to the board. I think some in the community observed that with the board's workload, sometimes responses from government input doesn't come back in a timely manner, and so I just think you have to manage your expectations in that regard.
And I'm not the only member of the OSC that's on this work team either, so we've got fairly good representation there already. One of the things that would be, I think, if we do communicate to the OSC for the OSC to some consideration, I think a little more specificity would be helpful. And one way that we could approach it is as each of the subgroups within our work team start to delve in, one of the things we could focus on early on, if people agree, is are there any particular principles or rules that we're going to consider that could have a significant impact on constituencies or stakeholder groups if we make recommendations in that direction, and focus on those first so that we can highlight those, and then a communication that identified some of those that may have more impact in terms of what constituencies and stakeholder groups are doing in their charters, we could escalate those, and I think that would be a very good time to communicate those. A general communication, I think, is less useful than one that identifies some specific examples where our recommendations may change things later on. Now, I think, and I think I said this in an email, I believe that, I mean, and maybe I'm hoping that all constituencies and stakeholder groups, you know, are as they're developing the details of their charters and revising them, will keep in mind the board recommendations so that they don't put things in there that go against the board recommendations. And if that's the case, then I think there's less chances of us, you know, spinning our wheels on this thing without having a good effect. I know in the case of the registry constituency, we certainly did try to make sure that the stakeholder group charter we put forward was consistent with the board recommendations. And hopefully the board and staff will let us know if we failed there. So,
thank you very much, Chuck. So you're suggesting to move on with our work and then see if it, in the near future, if it's time to communicate to the board or to make a I can't find the word in English. I'm sorry.
Well, what I'm suggesting something a little more specific than that. You got that right, but more specifically, if each of us that are working on the subtask would kind of focus on Victoria's concern and see if we can, you know, early on identify any particular areas.
Okay.
Where her concern might be a problem, let's identify those early on and then come to back together, maybe even in our next call, and see if we can't see if we should flag those in a communication like Victoria is suggesting.
Any
Does
comment?
That make any sense?
Oh, I think it's very, very good comment. Any other?
Yeah, I'd just like to make one or two comments. I think it's a great idea. Let's just come back to it next time and let's see. You know, I hear what you say, Chuck, and you're obviously a great guide to these sort of things. So if you say it might be helpful to be more specific, the thing I would just note about that discussion, and you know, it's so helpful to have proper phone calls instead of emails, isn't it? Because
yeah.
I'm just realizing how different, you know, like
yeah.
You realize that people are coming with really different perspectives to things for very valid reasons, you know. And I suppose that I'm thinking particularly of, you know, constituencies who haven't changed their old charters whatsoever. And of course, that's not always the case, and some people may have had these the report in mind. But I just note, for what it's worth, and like I said, I'm sure we'll come back to all of this in detail. But you know, that my reading and understanding of the board's the board governance committee's report is very much that what we should be coming. You know, it says, you know, it accepts that one size may not fit all, but the whole gist of that report, when it talks about constituency structure and these issues, is very much about sort of common rules that will apply right across all constituencies. You know, it's very clear about that. So I guess that's the only thing. I just note that, and I'm sure we'll come back to this issue. You know, so that's the way I've been looking at and understanding where we'll be going. That it says, you know, it's all about participation rules for all constituencies. You know, the rules must follow these principles, et cetera, et cetera. And all constituencies function. And so I suppose I was thinking that we would come up with rules that would pretty much affect, you know, that everyone would have to, you know, those that were accepted by the council and the board would apply to all constituencies. And so that there'd be probably no constituency that would be left unaffected and not having to amend its charter. That's certainly the way I was understanding it, but that's, you know, maybe not.
Yeah, and the constituencies and stakeholder groups have the board recommendations in front of them too. To the extent that they're not followed, is probably where we're going to have the conflicts that you're talking about. And if we can, as a work team, can identify any of those areas where maybe that's particularly going to happen. And since each of us probably know what our constituencies and stakeholder groups are doing, that information that we have in our various constituencies might be very helpful in helping us flag any problem areas.
So perhaps for our next conference call, we could have some feedback from each of us working in different subtasks and try to identify this kind of possible problems or areas of conflict, and if it's worth to communicate to the board or not. Could we perhaps have that in mind for 2 weeks in the future?
So the task of each little subgroup would be.
Or maybe too soon.
No, well, I think, well, if they need more time, they can tell us. If each little subgroup's on the list, or if they want to do a call or whatever, would kind of start off focusing on that and see if they if anything jumps out that might be a concern, and then communicate what they come up with next time. I think that would be good.
Olga, this is Julie. Could I get in the queue, please?
Sure, please. Go ahead, Julie.
Yes, and I would expect that, what I would hope is that in the next week or so, and as I say, I'm not sure of the exact timing, but I will address this right away. As I produce the table indicating which constituency has, you know, which of these items in their charter, I would think that that would be very helpful to the sub-team. Perhaps help them flag areas of concern. If I go through and I see that a charter does not have a particular area that, you know, is in the recommendations, I think that would help with this particular task.
Oh, that's a great idea.
That's a great idea. Totally agree, Julie. Thank you very much for that.
Olga,
okay.
This is Rob. If
oh,
I can
Rob.
Make a comment as well. Thank you. Many of you are perhaps familiar with, because you're in Mexico City, are aware of the board resolution with respect to constituency renewal. Also, as members of various constituencies, you may be aware that as a follow-up to that resolution, the staff has been having informal discussions with constituency leaders to talk about their renewal submission. The board set up a process by which staff would give some feedback to the board about potential changes that the board may want to ask individual constituencies to make to adjust their charters to comply with the principles and the bylaws of transparency, openness, and fairness. What I will commit to do as a staff member is as we prepare that information for the board, I will alert them to and remind them of this work team's jurisdiction and efforts so that they at least have that insight into the GNSO operations that these discussions are taking place.
Robert, could I just jump in there for a second and ask you just to clarify this? Does the board resolution authorize this informal procedure?
The resolution specifically says it is resolved the board acknowledges and thanks the existing constituencies for their submissions and awaits completion of the following activities. 1, staff analysis of constituencies submissions and public comments and identification of changes that the board may want to request each constituency to make over the coming months to ensure that their charters and subsequent activities comply with the principles contained in the bylaws and expanded upon in the GNSO Improvements Report and subsequent GNSO restructuring resolutions approved by the board last year. 2, follow-up submissions from constituencies as needed, provided to the board no later than its June 2009 meeting to confirm that constituencies have implemented recommended changes. We had informed the board that we were going through an analysis of the charter documents that had been submitted, and they agreed, not formally in this resolution, but that a useful process was for us to provide some initial feedback to existing constituencies to give them a sense of our efforts. And so we are doing that with their blessing, but that was not an official part of the resolution.
Well, I have to say I'm really astonished to hear this and to hear it so late, given that it goes directly to the heart of our work and effectively renders our work, you know, exactly what I feared, I think, I'm afraid, you know, exercise and going through the motions.
You see, I don't see that at all. So tell me why you, can you give me an example of why,
well, I think it's just,
anything
I mean,
we would be doing that would be going through the motion?
I'd very much like to have a look at that board resolution, and I'd like to also have a look at the staff's analysis, and I think the committee should be have a chance to review the work that's already been done, and then perhaps discuss this on our next call.
I must confess, I've lost the track of the conversation.
Well, I'll be perfectly happy to shoot momentarily here. I'll shoot the resolution link. I'm pulling it up here on the on my laptop. I can circulate that to the group, and we'll certainly do so.
I make my request that let's talk about specific examples where we think that we're wasting our time.
I'd like to read that board resolution, because, and I'd also, as I say, thank you, Robert, for offering to send it over. I think it's very important that I'd like to be fully informed before we have this, what I think is a very, very important discussion. And I haven't seen any of these documents. Robert, can I ask you then, while I've got you, while we're on this topic, what analysis of the charters has already been done by the staff?
The staff has gone through the charters that were submitted and that have been posted in the public comment forum. We are also going through the process and have been went through the process of analyzing and summarizing the public comments that were made with respect to the charters. We have put together some preliminary documentation as we've gone through the various charters to try to get some general assessment as to whether there are areas of commonality between different charters and the rest that might be useful for other groups to investigate or share. The process that we outlined to the board is that we'd have some initial informal discussions with the existing constituencies, tell them what the status of our work was generally as we prepared to provide a report to the board. That's still in its real preliminary stages, I must confess, given other recommendations and requirements that the board have asked us to do. But that's generally where we are at this point.
Excuse me for jumping in, but I have to jump off because I'm about 12 minutes late for another meeting.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
Josh, for your participation.
Robert, is there any work products that would be that would obviously, because obviously there's a lot of crossover with what with the exercise that Julie's been tasked with. I mean, it sounds like that exercise has already been undertaken.
I'll ask Julie, because I don't know if that's true, and I must confess I don't know the specific work product that you guys have been talking about for her to generate. Clearly, we don't want to duplicate efforts, so that's something that I'll talk directly with her about. We have, in general, with two or three constituencies in general about our observations. I'll check and see what the specific documentation is that we have. The initial approach that the board suggested was just to have some informal discussions, but I can't see myself any reason why we couldn't share that documentation with this work team to help you guys in your efforts.
That's great. And can I just ask you, you're going to send us a board resolution. Can you also refer us to the board meeting authorizing this procedure?
Sure.
That'd be great. I'd just like to fully understand the background and how the exercise is working, and, you know, just I'd like to see all the constitutional documents, et cetera, et cetera. So that would be helpful, and then we can talk about it on our next call, perhaps.
Great.
Thank you, Rob, and Victoria, if you receive this information and you can share with us your concerns, that, at least for me, would be very helpful, and I think for the working group also.
Yeah, it's Michael speaking. To add to that, Victoria, we all get the sense of your developing concerns here. I think just to reinforce what Chuck was saying, as you look through these things, if you have issues, if you could give us, you know, specific examples of how fears could come into play, I think that it would make it a lot easier for the rest of us to understand where the points of concerns are.
Well, I have to say, it's not a specific point. The whole procedure to me smacks of being totally the wrong way to go about something like that. That is not open and transparent, is it?
but it's not an open, transparent process. Backroom meetings and, you know, negotiations and whatever, that's just, and this is really why we would be asked to be doing the front room screen kind of exercise. I mean, to me that's just totally inappropriate, but I don't want to comment further until I've had a look at the process. To me is wrong.
Well,
but I haven't seen the documents, and so I want to reserve judgment, but I don't understand why basically you'd have the same exercise that we're tasked with being conducted behind closed doors.
Well, that's a very strong statement. I think at this stage, I think we need to understand it further.
Yeah,
before,
we do. No, we, exactly, we do. So, like I said, I mean, I just don't think we'll end up anywhere helpful. And I'm not sure that it's about specifics either, because for me, it's hugely, my initial concern anyway, without having seen the documents, is one of good practice and open and transparent process.
Right.
Right.
Let's review it.
Yeah.
And then let's frame the concerns. I mean, ultimately, some of these concerns may go beyond the scope of what we're tasked with doing, and I think we have to be sensitive to that as well.
This is Rob. This is actually an excellent case study because, as we've communicated with various leadership teams in the constituencies, it becomes an issue of then what do the constituency leaders share with their members in terms of participation and what's going on. And so I think this ultimately becomes an interesting case study in that. The other aspect, I think this is helpful, and at the risk of continuing your meeting for another 30 seconds or so, the process that the board looked at was to say, we have existing constituencies. Let's make sure at a very high level that at the very least they are still adhering to the bylaw principle. And so the board said, submit your charters. We'd like to take a look at them. We're going to be inviting new people to come into the GNSO community. We want to make sure that as we create expectations for them, that the existing players are adhering to those bylaw principles. And so the board set up this process to essentially invite folks to renew/reconfirm themselves without any deadline that anyone would be decertified or anything like that, but merely as a process to ensure that everybody's thinking in the right frame of mind. All of that work could be ending up subsumed by the creation of the stakeholder groups, the work of this team, and the recommendations that you all make for the GNSO moving forward. But I think the board was concerned about the timing of that process and just wanted to ensure that while all this is going on, that the existing constituencies in their current makeup are consistent with the bylaw principle. So I agree there's some challenge there, Victoria, in terms of process and workload, and several constituency leaders have expressed concerns, certainly publicly in Mexico, about some of those processes and the work that has to be done.
Well, you know, and to your point, I can see how this would be, at first blush, a very big concern to anyone viewing it, but in principle what you said actually makes a lot of sense. I mean, we really know, the rubber hits the road if we put out our recommendations and then there's the concentrated effort and it might be over expiries or different cycles, but for all the relevant charters to come into compliance. I mean, when you make changes, you can't necessarily expect, a hard switch date on all elements of it. And so that is probably something we need to think about in our recommendations. Make suggestions on how these recommendations are implemented.
That's a good point.
Okay, we should be closing our conference call. Rob, could you share this document and information that you talked about, and perhaps Victoria, you can share with us some, as Michael said, concrete examples, and so maybe you can help me more, because I don't belong to a specific constituency. I'm an Oncoma appointee, and so this would be for me very helpful, because I don't work within a constituency, so I'm not able to judge all these procedural things. I think that with Robert's information that will be sent and with Julie's input with about information that they already have about constituencies, we have some food for thought and start our work in subtask. Am I correct? So we could have some of this information maybe during the next week and start, and for the next conference call we can have a sense of where we're in and which kind of information we are having and which kind of difficulties are we having in our subtask. Is that correct for our action items for next week, for the next 2 weeks?
Olga, this is Julie. That sounds fine. I will start my task right away and try to get information to the team as quickly as I can so we can use that as a basis to identify areas of concern.
Great. Julie, thank you very much. And Robert, could you send the information that we have been talking about and so we can hear more details from Victoria about her concerns?
Yes, I've taken that as an action item.
Great. Thank you very much. So I think it's all for now, unless anyone has something to add. Thank you for the patience of staying 22 minutes longer. It was a very interesting call. I agree with Victoria that the conference calls are much better than the email. I don't know why, but it's easier to solve and to discuss and to exchange information in the conference call. And also face-to-face is even better. So thank you all for the patience, for participating, and we keep in touch through the list. And we talk again in 2 weeks.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Olga.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.